Welcome to the How to Hide a Dead Body podcast. I am Ice Grudansky, founder and CEO of Adventure Media, one of New York's fastest, hottest, most award-winning digital advertising agencies. And I am here with Patrick Gilbert, Danielle Immerman. We're going to talk today about writing. And I'd like to talk about writing a few times. Maybe we'll dedicate some additional conversations. But Patrick, you wrote a book, which is insane, because who the hell writes a book? And that's very exciting. And let's just, we'll introduce the book later, we'll talk about it, but let's just go back to the first conversation that we had. It must have been almost a year ago now, where you came into my office. Was it more than a year ago?
It was about a year ago.
We have a weekly meeting, Patrick and I. Patrick's the director of operations here at Adventure Media. And the weekly meeting is just random agenda items, things that are on my mind, things that are on Patrick's mind. Most of the meeting is really talking about the things that we didn't do over the last week, the prior week. So this one meeting, Patrick comes in the office and he says, I want to write a book. I think he actually said, I'm going to write a book. So why did you decide to write a book? And what in the world made you think that you could actually pull it off at the time? Looking back now, did you actually know all that would be entail, all writing a book would entail? And you were like, I could do that, which would be crazy. Or did you not even have the slightest idea what this would entail, how overwhelming it would be, and you just thought it would be a walk in the park? So you're like, yeah, I'm going to write a book. It'll be done. Come back in 6 weeks. So walk us through that process a little bit.
Sure. Appreciate that. To answer the second part of your question, as far as did I know what I was getting myself into, I didn't, but it was on purpose. I knew that if I actually researched what would be entailed in this process, that I would have never actually moved forward with it. And so, especially in regards to once you have the book, getting it published and edited and everything else that goes along with actually bringing it to print is, I knew it was going to be a nightmare, and it was a nightmare. And I know that if I had done all the research beforehand, this never would have happened. So I purposefully, like, I know the way that I operate, I purposefully pushed it off until it was like, okay, I have a manuscript here, let's bring it to print. So, but to your other question, why? To take a step back, so the book itself is about machine learning and automation and digital advertising. It's a lot of stuff that we talk about every single day. It's a really, really important topic for our team, our clients, our audience base, our stakeholders, everything like that. Now, if you take a step back 2 years ago, I started writing about this concept of automation. I started writing blog posts that were long-form blog posts. Now, the issue is I didn't want to be the one that had to write about this topic. I just felt that nobody else was. And I really do think, and as much as Google has helped us out with learning about these concepts, I think that, you know, Google had a chance to set a narrative, Facebook had a chance to set a narrative, and nobody was really doing the right thing about talking about these things at a higher level, and really educating the broader public on these topics and this technology and how to use it to drive digital advertising success. So I started writing a few different blog posts that took a very, very long time. They're no quick reads, and they certainly took months at a time to write. And the problem was, I felt like I wasn't getting anywhere, because I would write about, like, the very first post I wrote was just about the concept of automation and why it should be embraced. And then, you know, down the road, I had another post about, like, diving into different, like, algorithms that drive the bidding within the platforms. But that's not worth your time of reading if you didn't first read this other piece. So I got to this point where I was spending all this time writing and trying to educate people, and it wasn't really getting anywhere because it didn't make linear sense. And no one's going to invest the time into reading a blog post that's 6,000 words, and you have to read another thing first. So I realized that in order for us to really get this message out there and to be able to promote the business as part of it, that the only way to really do it is to actually have a fully fleshed out book from start to finish that tells the full story of this. And at the very beginning, I did not want to be the person to write that book. And then I said, I'm going to take this on myself because I think this industry needs it. And it's the most, and I realized it was the most important thing that needed to be done both for our agency and for the entire industry, that somebody needed to do the work to put this through. And I just figured I'd be the one to step up and do it.
I love that. And I like what you said first about purposefully not researching the process. I think a lot of people don't get started on exciting things because they're a couple of reasons. One is that they just get bogged down in research and like they're researching. And then it's like, well, now I'm too tired. Or they actually research and they realize that it's too hard. It's going to be too difficult to do. I love that approach. It's like an idiotic optimism. It really is. It's like, but it's also rational. You're idiotically optimistic because you know that you're going to eventually face the hurdles that you also know would have dissuaded you from ever starting, and you're optimistic that you will overcome them. So it's almost it's a dichotomous optimism. It's literally a paradox because you're saying on one hand, if I understand what's going to hit me in the face, I will not start this process. But I'm also equally confident that I'm going to put all this work in and I will continue going when I'm getting slapped in the face because I know it will happen.
And I think part of it is you realize that once you get to the most challenging aspects, you've already put in so much work that it would just be foolish at that point to not continue on.
Right.
So I basically just started and said, I'm just going to put as much work into this as I possibly can. And as I face these challenges, I'll figure it out as I go, knowing that I'm probably going to want to see through to the end.
Okay. What was walk me through your process, because a lot of people aspire to write. A lot of people listening probably want to write a book or they want to write good content. What was your process as far as figuring out an outline, a topic, chapter structures? Did you work from an outline? Did you write a draft? Did you just go into actual writing? What was your process and what was your editing process because people have different editing processes. Like some people will edit as they write. Some people will just write. Some writers suggest that you just write a lot and then you let sit and then you go back and you edit. Most people probably do a combination, but what was your process?
So I think the editing thing we'll circle back to, but I will say this. Anyone that can edit while they write, I don't understand. They're a freak of nature, because I think to write well, you need to be able to balance two different sides of your personality. In order to write anything, you need to have sort of this like, get into this mindset that's kind of ego-driven, where you're sort of motivated in a way that's like, what I'm writing right now is the most important thing in the world. And so many people are going to be so happy to read these words. And it's like, it's a very, very weird mindset to get into, but that's really the only thing that'll keep you going and it'll keep the creative process going. But the editing, but to write well, it needs to be edited. You can't just kind of churn out all of that, you know, gibberish or whatever. So in order for me to switch into editing mode, I needed to kind of remove myself from that entirely and then embrace the exact opposite, where you're completely vulnerable, you're completely humbled, you're, you know, self-deprecating, and you need to be extremely aware of your flaws. And those two things sit at opposite sides of the spectrum for me. So it was a drastic process to be able to go back and forth. But I'll come back to that in a little bit. As far as the process goes, writing a book to me was very different than writing any other piece of content. I really enjoy writing blog posts. I enjoy writing articles. I enjoy the research that goes into it. And I enjoy crafting the story as you go. What I've found with articles and blog posts is that I generally will start with the final point that I want to make. You know, I just published a post the other day about Roku and their advertising platform. And the main thing that I wanted to get across was that Roku needs to embrace smaller advertisers and need to open their arms to smaller advertisers to bring them onto their platform. That's really what I wanted to say. But it's like, okay, well, why do you feel that way? And why is this important? Why should we believe you and all these other things? So you kind of like start with the final point and then work backwards, which I really enjoy that process. A book is a little bit different because it has to follow a story arc. And you could say like certain chapters will work that way, but it's really about what are the main key points here and where do they fit into the overall theme of the work and what am I trying to get across? So as far as I was at an advantage because I had thought a lot about this topic before and I had written about it before. So I kind of just sat down and started writing about whatever I found to be kind of the preliminary, this is the first thing you need to understand. So that essentially became chapter one. And then I wrote another thing that I thought would be chapter two, but ended up being like chapter eight. So now all of a sudden you start to like bounce around and you start to think of like where the missing pieces are. So it really was just like, I thought about it nonstop for months on end in the car before I went to sleep at night, while I was in the process, while I was at work. And eventually these things just kind of fit. I mean, down to the very last minute, I was swapping chapters back and forth. So it really is something that you just, you kind of just start, you start putting in words to paper. And then all of a sudden you think that this one thing is going to be a small paragraph and it ends up being an entire section of a book, like multiple chapters. So it really is just bring, like the process is really just bringing an all-in mentality to it and saying, I'm going to work on this every single day and I'm going to think about this nonstop. I'm going
to
have a
help. When did you work? How did you find time to do the writing?
In the morning.
Did you start getting up earlier than usual?
At the beginning, yeah. So at the beginning, I started getting up probably 2 hours earlier than I normally would have.
When did you usually get up and when did you start getting up?
Before this, I would probably wake up 6:45-ish. So I started waking up like closer to 5 a.m. And then just like sitting down writing for 2 hours. I came into the office late. And then I would write a lot on weekends. It's hard to do this stuff at night.
I think that this is a big, I think for anyone who wants to write, this is what Patrick's saying is so important. Not that it's the morning, but you have to have a process and you have to worship your process no matter what. If you're tired, if you're hungry, if you're depressed, you get the hell out of bed or whatever it is. Some people like writing at night. Some people like writing in the morning. Some people like writing in the middle of the day. And how long you write for is not even what's important. But you have to basically write every day and you have to allocate some amount of time every day. If you're going to write a good article, if you're going to write a book, if it's fiction, nonfiction, if it's a biography, whatever it may be. But it's like maybe 30% of the day you're feeling of the time you're feeling good about writing. I don't know. Like there's a fraction of the actual sessions where you're like, this is awesome. Most of the time it's freaking difficult. You don't know what like your keys, your fingertips are hovering over the keys. You're staring at a blank screen. You don't know what the hell to write. You're filled with self-doubt. Like, is my last paragraph and page and 100 pages any good? Will anyone want to read it? But you have to stick to the process. So even if you come and you have, I write from 7 to 8 in the morning or from 5 to 6 in the morning, the days that you're not feeling it, just sit in your chair and stare at your screen. Pull out a book and just copy it. Like just type over the page of some other book you like. Just do some exercise, get some words out. And that to me is one like big key thing you're saying, is like a process that you protect at all costs.
And I'll add to that. I heard this was advice that I stole from somebody else. But there, to your point, there's a lot of days where it sucks and it's hard. And there's other days where it's the opposite of that, where everything seems to be working. And the advice is to realize when it is working and when you are like able to continue to write and you feel the creative process going, and don't let anything get in the way with that. So there were times I had my routine where it was like, okay, from, let's say like it was like 6 in the morning to like 8:39, and then I'll like get ready for work and leave for the office. If I was in the middle of something that I felt strongly about and I was in the zone, I would not get up from my desk. I would just keep cranking and I would put off everything else. I would do the same on weekends too. You have to cherish that, like those few opportunities. It's probably like 1 out of every 10 times that you sit down to write that you'll really be able to get in the zone, and you need to really cherish that and take advantage of it.
Right. It takes a lot of discipline to really cherish, protect, worship that schedule. I'm also a big fan of rituals. Did you have any writing rituals?
I changed. So during this process was when COVID hit. So my habits had to change throughout. It was like weird, the working from home thing, managing the team remotely. So it definitely changed throughout. But I certainly had my ritual, like caffeine rituals by itself. It's just like, okay, well, like I'm sleeping less. So like this is when I'm gonna have like coffee, this one I have espresso, this one I have tea. Like, how am I going to actually go to the office and be a functioning human? Like the caffeine ritual by itself is like a whole thing. But it's really just being dynamic. I change it up as I went.
You like writing in the mornings, right?
Yeah.
I'm the same way. And I find that I need to write in the morning. For one reason, because my mind is just, I think, fresher.
Yeah.
Two is it's the same reason why I liked working out in the morning. And I could only work out in the morning because it's the hard. Once you get up and you could do the hardest thing you're going to have to do that day, your whole day is so much better because it's really crazy that getting into writing. I'm interested to see if you have the same experience. it taught me a lot about what discipline really is. Because on one hand, if anyone looked at me, let's say, or you, like you're the president of the company, I'm the CEO of a company, there's a lot we do every day. There's a lot of work. But that's not discipline. Because at the end of the day, there's a certain lack of structure to it where I could procrastinate a presentation and do whatever it is I'm doing, or like do easy loafing work, or like, oh yeah, I gotta go order table. I need a new pair of shoes. I have to take care of that. I might as well do it right now at 2 o'clock in the afternoon when I have a 30, you know, why not now? So I'll get all the work done and I'll accomplish a lot throughout the course of a day, but that's different than discipline. Discipline is like this is a structure with handcuffs, and you need to stay to the structure no matter how unpleasant it is, because if you don't stay to the structure, it will not get done. And I feel that way about writing. Is if I don't get it done in the morning, there's not a sliver of a chance that I will get any writing done any other time of the day, because I get too busy, I get too tired, and by the end of the day, I'm just not feeling good about anything. It's just like I'm just thinking of all the mistakes I made. You're exhausted. Things happen throughout the day that are problematic, that like you just don't have no energy to sit down now at in the evening and work on a future looking project that takes a huge amount of optimism. Like I feel my morning brain is so much more optimistic than my evening brain. My evening brain is like, I maybe don't even want to wake up tomorrow. My morning brain is like, I have the whole world to conquer.
I agree. And I think what you're describing is this concept of like organized procrastination. I have so much to do. So I'm going to spend the next hour and a half creating a to-do list. It's like, no, like you're just procrastinating doing the first thing that you have to do. What I think, this goes with writing, but this really goes with anything. You know, we have team members here that are trying to learn new skills, or they are working on a long-term project for themselves as well. And I think it needs to be done regardless of who you are at the beginning of the day. Because to your point, anything with a quick deadline, a report that you need to get out, an optimization that needs to be made, obviously there's exceptions here, but I'll do that if it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and I still have that to do, I'm going to get that done because there is a deadline. But if it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon and it's just like, okay, I haven't written anything today and I have this like obscure deadline to have a book published within the next year, you're just never going to do it. Like 10 times out of 10, you're never going to do it. And I think realizing your own habits and your own faults at being able to get that quality work done is extremely important, regardless of whether it's writing or developing a new website or learning a new skill. You have to prioritize, because the most important thing that has to get done today is not always the thing that needs to get done first.
Yes, I that's interesting. That's an interesting point as far as using this idea of organized procrastination, and whether or not you're involved in a writing project, it is relevant to effectively tackling priorities throughout the course of the day with anything. Now, throughout the process, did you have any self-doubts throughout the course of this process? At any point, you think that like, this is not going to get done, no one's going to read it, it's not going to work, stupid, idiot, what a terrible idea, what a waste of time, or not? And if you did have self-doubts, walk us through them.
I always knew that I would get something finished, but I was concerned about the quality. And I was concerned that I would have to fill the pages with like fluff content. Now, looking back, it's a hilarious thought because I ended up having to cut 75% of what I wrote. It was really about the quality and about, you know, knowing that there was a concept. Like, I really wanted to dig into the weeds with describing the fundamentals of machine learning, because I think that marketers really do not understand that. And I'm a marketer. I'm not a data science guy first. I've just kind of learned data science over the years. So for me to learn about Bayes' theorem or backpropagation and deep learning is no easy feat. So I had this anxiety as I was leading up to the point where I needed to start that project as to whether or not I was just going to skip that altogether. And thankfully, I got to it and I held myself accountable and said, if this is going to be the best work that I can put out, I need to put in the work to learn these topics and really dive into these chapters and what it's and what needs to be done. So I think that was my biggest fear. I was pretty good with thinking like, okay, theoretically there's no like teacher or professor that's going to say it needs to include all these things. It's really up to me. So the highest quality output, I can put out something that I can publish within a month, or I can really dig in for the next year and do something really well. And I was afraid that I'd be disappointed at the end with my own quality.
It reminds me, I'm listening to a masterclass by David Baldacci. I've actually never read any of his books. So he's like a huge, huge thriller writer. He's sort of like a Nelson DeMille type or Robert Ludlum type. He writes these very realistic political thrillers, David Baldacci. He's a number one New York Times bestselling author. So I was listening to his masterclass. I've never read anything he's ever written, but he's sold a lot of books. So he's got to have something worthwhile to say. But anyway, he's talking about, so he does a lot of research, right? He doesn't write fantasy. He writes really well-researched political thrillers. And he talks about the amount of research he does, which is, he said he could spend a year or two just collecting research. And he'll go with video cameras and he'll interview CIA agents and he'll interview FBI personnel and talk about, you know, it's really interesting. And he showed, like, he was writing about a nuclear bomb that was going to go off and they had to defuse it. So he had visited facilities and he spoke to nuclear experts and he showed like a 200-page binder of research. And he's like, this was the research that I did for a scene where two characters are talking to each other about like a potential way to defuse this. One of the characters is a layman. One of the characters is the expert. And it's a page and a half. And he's like, all of that research was necessary that I could write a good page and a half. Because like the actual reader, like what's important, the important information for the reader to understand is not all of this. 99% of this is boring, but there are some fundamental pieces that I need to include in order for it to be believable. So what was, like, does that translate at all into what you came across with your research? He was talking about fiction.
That strikes all the chords. The like you and I had obviously discussed throughout this. And I had conveyed a couple times that I was really stressed out and it's like, it's not an easy thing. Like it's not all, you know, fun and games and being able to overcome that, to realize that at the end of the day, no one's ever going to like really understand how much work goes into this sort of thing and being okay with that. Cause I think, and I'm certainly guilty of this. And I think earlier versions of the book before it was really edited had like me including like a page and a half, that was really just me proving that I did a bunch of research and not actually valuable to the end reader. And having the, I guess just like having the ability to cut that out and realize that the overall work is going to be better without it. And like, there was one thing in particular, I mentioned back propagation and deep learning. I spent an entire weekend. There was one weekend in January, it was raining out, it was miserable weather. And I woke up very early, both Saturday and Sunday. I probably worked for 14 hours between the two of them, reading this one research paper on that topic and writing about it. I thought it was so cool. They kind of made these comparisons to the financial markets. And I just wrote about it because I found it interesting. And like 3 months later, I'm looking back at that saying, this is just absolute garbage. And I had to cut it eventually. I took a little bit out. And I eventually cut the whole thing. And you might look back and say, okay, well, you just wasted a weekend of your life. I think it was well worth it in the end, even though it didn't even make the final product. But that's a part of the process. There's a lot of stuff, a lot of research that goes in that no one will ever really understand or appreciate. And I think that's fine because ultimately you have to be happy with the final work.
And it has to be valuable to the reader. Like the reader has to, they have to learn what they're supposed to learn. Dan Brown, who's the author of The Da Vinci Code, he has a line in his masterclass. He said, when you buy a book for $30, you're not paying for the book. You're paying for everything the author left out, which is, in a way, it's true. It's like so much. And I experienced this also, like where I wrote a scene once of the first chapter of a book and it was 13,000 words. Okay, whatever. 13,000 word chapter, not the end of the world.
It's pretty long. That's longer than anything in most nonfiction books, just so, because word count, I think, just the average person, that's a very, very long chapter.
Yeah. I mean, the book itself, suppose, you know, it doesn't, you know, 100,000 words, 90,000 words, 80,000, whatever. So 13,000 words is long scene for first chapter. And then I didn't look at this thing for 8 years. And then I go back after I've learned a little bit about writing, after I've probably sent, I don't know, 200,000 emails. How many emails have I sent over the course of the last 6 years? Lots of emails. And I rewrote the chapter with like a pretty ruthless editing pen. And it's 1,100 words now. Same scene, same character, same action, same event.
Same takeaway.
Same, yeah. And it's like an eighth of the length. Because, and I went to it, like with editing, like what I try, like you try to almost pretend, it's like playing make-believe. You have to make-believe that you, one, your initial, well, let's say it's more like, it's guilty until proven innocent. meaning my perspective is this is going to suck, but I will let you prove me wrong. Whereas if you're the one writing it, it's like, well, this is awesome. And everything I say is awesome. And every sentence that I weave is awesome. But then when you edit, you have to go and put on a different hat. You have to play the character of a reader who doesn't know you, who doesn't trust you.
Who doesn't care,
whose natural inclination is to find why this is bad or to criticize the work. And then you read it from that perspective. It's like, well, do I really care about this? Is this important? Is this interesting? Does this move the narrative along? Is this information that's going to help me practically? Is this related? And then you see, then all of a sudden it's like, okay, cut, like what you're describing.
And that mentality that you had, because you've had this experience before, was really helpful for me in the most frustrating of ways, because you were ruthless. Like you had said, you know, kill your darlings, like borrowed from Stephen King. It needs to be shorter. You need to cut all these things out. There's too much fluff, whatever. And there was at one point where I thought I had finished everything and the whole book was like 130,000 words or something. And you had said, that's just absolutely unacceptable. It needs to be 25% less. And I was like, when you sent that message to me, this is not even that long. Like this is, I don't know, probably 4 months ago. And I was furious. And I was like, F you, man. Like, you didn't even read this thing yet. Like, you have no idea what you're talking about. Like, 25%, like, you're absolutely insane. And then I started going through. And I was like, well, actually, I can pull this entire chapter away. Like, I don't need all this. I don't need all that. And then went, like, ruthlessly edited it and came down to about 25% less. And you were right, unfortunately. I hate to admit it. But it made the book better.
Yeah, and it's not. I would love to take credit for it, but it's what Stephen King always says. And think about this, right? Stephen King, when he was writing On Writing,
the name of the book is On Writing.
Yeah, the name of the book is On Writing, a memoir. I think I've recommended that to you. He says that when he writes a first draft, right? He then cuts out 20% in a rewrite. In his second rewrite, he takes out another. He aims for another 10 or 15%. And that's coming from a guy who was at the time already the 7th or 8th best-selling author in history. And his first drafts are still bloated, mm-hmm. You know, like, which is interesting. It's like, I think he was, as far as I was able to tell, he was describing his current process, his existing process. So for the regular writers among us, like myself and you and anyone who's listening, who's not the 8th best-selling author in the world already, who has written 40 books that have all been published and have all been number one bestsellers, even the more so. It's you got to take it, let it sit, and you go back and you have to change your perspective, though. I think that's what you did successfully. You were able to, and it takes a lot of honesty because, like you said, it's in the beginning, it's these two opposing forces. You have the force of, I wrote this, I spent all this time. Every word I cut is another word that takes away from the perspective of, takes away from the understanding of how much work went into it. Literally every word I cut, every sentence I cut. And then you might be looking at a paragraph that really did take you 4 weeks to write. Like the information in this paragraph that, but then if you have intellectual honesty, if you have empathy, if you're able to put yourself in the shoes of a reader who just wants to learn and better his career, you have the forthright wherewithal to say, you know what, this paragraph's not going to help him or her. You cut it. It takes a lot of honesty to do that. It's difficult. It takes a lot of character. Now, okay, I want to go into book marketing. I want to go into the editing process. I want to go into the publishing process and the design process. But I think we're at 30 minutes. Let's save some of this stuff for some future podcast episodes where we could continue talking about writing. I think it's an interesting topic. I think it spans almost every business discipline. Because even if you're writing an email, like there's so much to be gained by writing an email, letting it sit, and then editing the email. It's like I did that yesterday when I wrote. It was funny. Just last to finish up, we were launching this new type of lite version of our service for clients with smaller budgets. I spent like a good hour typing up a long email. I lost the draft in HubSpot because HubSpot refreshed on me. And then I rewrote it. And it was better when I rewrote it because it was fresh in my mind the first way I wrote it. And I rewrote it shorter, more to the point, less fluff. I knew what I wanted to say. And that is editing. So there's a lot to be said for even applying the same principles you apply to writing a 350-page book to writing a short email, because you could really get a point across so much more effectively, convincingly, and it could actually change the business outcomes. Like you could win or lose a deal based on how you phrase something, how you say something, your understanding of what the other person wants to hear and how you deliver that in your writing. Writing is very powerful. All right. This was, I think, interesting. We'll certainly pick this up in future episodes talking about writing. Congratulations. Join or Die. Check out joinordiebook.com. Will be available for pre-order probably by the time you're listening to this. joinordiebook.com. Sign up for a membership. Patrick will be dripping out exclusive content. And if it's not available for order yet, it'll certainly be available for pre-order by the time you check out the site. Danielle, Patrick, thanks. Again, I'm Isaac Radansky. This is the How to Hide a Dead Body podcast, brought to you by Adventure Media Group, digital advertising.